Okay, people, welcome to The Rib on CITR 101.9 FM. This is Robin, and today I have a special episode because today I'm interviewing three people, and they all have one thing in common. Well, they probably have many things in common, but one thing in common that's relevant to today is that they are all having pieces played in Sonic Boom Festival, which is coming up in 2 weekends. Sonic Boom Festival is put on by Vancouver Pro Musica, and they do it every year, right? Mm-hmm. So let's introduce. So here we've got Chris Sivak.
Hi.
Livia Goh.
Hi.
And Kelsey Zachary.
Hey.
And Livia and Kelsey are both students at UBC School of Music, and Chris, you were.
Ex-student, and very happy about it.
Well, let's see, how are we going to start? Who wants to start? I guess we should just start telling people about what you're having played in Sonic Boom and why they should go.
Sure. Yeah, sure.
So we'll start with you, Chris.
Okay. Can I just rattle off?
Go ahead. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I've got a piece being played by the New BC Ensemble on the 9th. They commissioned me to write it, I guess, about 2 years ago now, and they've been taking it on tour and stuff with them, and it's big. It's like a 15-minute long piece. Writing it didn't quite kill me, but you know, it almost did. it's kind of like this big, kind of sprawling romantic thing. I don't know, like with my approach to music, I really like, I like storytelling whenever I can, so I usually end up writing for voice because of that, but since this is an all-instrumental outfit, I had to kind of find a way to kind of use my own brand of storytelling in an instrumental form. I think I sort of did that.
I didn't know that about Sonic Boom. It's all instrumental, they have no...
Oh, no, they have, like, vocal stuff. It's just, I'm just saying, like, I tend to gravitate toward voices, probably just because I know more singers than I do, you know, instrumentalists.
Mm-hmm. And what do you play?
I'm a piano player. Yeah? I try to sing in choir.
Yeah.
It can be good or bad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Cool. Livy, what are you having played?
I'm having my drum and voice piece being played on Sonic Boom on the 8th of April. Basically, I tried to marry two cultures together, like Eastern from the drum, as well as West, and marrying that with the voice, Western voice techniques. And I think that was pretty successful, I think. And I think this is, like, largely influenced by my background. I'm from Singapore, so hence there's a lot of East and West being meshed together, and you know, and it's seen in our music, food, culture. So, you know, it just felt natural for me to put zheng with voice together.
Can you explain what the zheng looks like? And
yeah, sure. Basically, the zheng is also known as the guzheng. It's a Chinese zither. It's 21 strings. Usually in the olden times, it's the strings are made by horse hair, hair of the horse tail. But now, you know, everything's modernized, so they use like metal stuff to make it. And it's pentatonic, it's tuned to D. But the thing is, you know, as a composer, you can always retune the strings yourself and make it into a different key altogether. But it's largely in D. But D, you know?
Yeah.
And so my zheng part had a scale that is not like D-ish. And my voice part was totally, like, not part of this whole collection of tones. So it's kind of interesting.
What night is it being played?
Oh, Thursday night, the opening.
Thursday night.
Yeah.
And did you...
The
9th. The 9th, right.
Western Front.
Yeah.
8th and Kingsway. Yes.
Is it all at the Western Front,
yeah,
the whole
yeah,
thing?
Yeah, it all is. It's just, like, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah. 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 That's a good space.
Yeah.
I like that
yeah,
place.
It's really good. Yes.
Yeah.
Really good.
It's quite nice. It's really cozy. Yeah. And the people that work there are really supportive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. And tell us, Kelsey, about yours.
I've written a string quartet. It's just the first two movements that will be performed. It originally started out as a project that I wrote for the string quartet that I play in. I only finished one movement of it when we were playing together before we all kind of dispersed at the end of the school year last year. And so I decided to undertake a larger project and try to write a complete quartet in four movements. And so the first two movements will be featured this year at Sonic Boom. It probably is most influenced by French music because I played a lot of French music last year. And So you can definitely hear some Ravel and Debussy in there.
Oh, whatnot. Cool.
So, yeah. So it was a really fun project for me.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited to hear it.
That's neat. Well, so how much are each of the shows? Do you know?
For admission?
Yeah.
I think it's $20.
Yeah, you can get a festival pass once you go to every night, and you get a bit of a deal. As far as dollars and cents,
So it's Thursday to Sunday.
Yeah.
And all the concerts start at
7:30, except for Sunday, where it's a workshop that starts at 10, I believe.
Oh, what's that?
Sunday
about?
Night, there's also the concert.
Oh, there's also a concert Sunday.
Yeah.
What's the workshop?
It was supposed to be a Mark McGregor and Rachel Owasa, Teresias, but Mark double booked, so Paolo from the New BC Ensemble is playing instead. I got a piece being workshopped there as well.
So are they doing like a reading, or they're just working on your pieces?
Yeah, it's a reading. They're gonna tear it apart pretty much, and it should be good, wholesome fun.
Yeah. For everyone but you.
Yeah, workshops can be great, but they can be
you're kind of
like on the coals. So every time something comes up, it's, you know, did you really mean to put a sharp there? Do you actually know what you're doing?
Oh, when they ask you why you did that, and you're like, well, I just did.
Explain yourself. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do I have to?
Like what I'm doing.
Why?
So why did you write this? Did you say when yours is being played, Kelsey?
Mine's on April 11th.
Okay.
Sunday.
Which is the Sunday.
On the Sunday. So people should buy festival passes and go to every show.
Totally, because they should come hear all of our pieces.
Yeah.
I'm volunteering, so I'm going to...
Excellent.
A good in. Well, I think we should play something. So, Chris, we start with you.
Sure.
You're in here. Now, what do you have in the CD player?
Okay,
what are you
going to
play?
Let me talk about it. I sing in a group, Vancouver Peace Choir, conducted by Tim Corliss. We're awesome.
Tim Corliss.
Yeah, he's
got
he's a doctoral
stuff.
Student. He's probably listening right now and shaking his head as I say these words. we've got a concert coming up on April 18th and April 25th. You can find all the dates and stuff on our website. But this piece was done December last year. It's for oboe, choir, cello, and piano. It's based on some poetry a friend of mine wrote. It's a pretty piece, for sure. It's kind of the poem is kind of the, at least from what I got from talking to the poet, it's kind of evocative of a kind of, I don't know, reaching out there and trying to hold on to your innocence, I guess. And so I kind of tried to make this happen through the piece by having like the piece be about kind of these really dark shifts through this kind of sometimes nasty sounding harmony. And at the end, the oboe comes back with like this little melodic motive, just that na 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 na, and so it's definitely going to be revised because like the way it works out, it's kind of buried. But I mean, I know it's there, and I think with a little bit of a rewrite, I can make it come out and sing a bit more. So
is this piece that you're going to play here similar in style to the one that's being played at Sonic Boom at all?
Okay, not at all. Yeah, the thing is, it's. This piece, it's a lot easier on the ears. The one at Sonic Boom, there's way, way more angst to it. It's
good way to put it. Okay.
Yeah, teen angst. Yeah.
I see. Is it the first track here?
Yeah. There's only one on there.
Oh, okay. So I'm gonna play this. This is by Chris Sivak.
And it's called Bye Bye Blackbird. Thank you.
Every Monday and Friday, something extraordinary goes on at CITR. It's the scramble to put together a news show that offers an alternate view of the headlines. News 101 brings you the latest in news from around campus and the world. So if you're tired of the same old take on the world around you, listen to News 101. That's every Monday and Friday at 5 p.m. on CITR.
Okay. Seeing as we are on UBC campus and you guys are all either post-UBC students or you are now UBC students, I thought we'd talk a little bit about, you know, what you were thinking before you came to the school. What were you thinking? No. What you were thinking about when you came to the school, and then how that changed how you look at composition, and then now, you know, what is composition like for you guys? So whoever wants to start.
Well, I guess for me, I came in a performance program playing violin, and composition wasn't really something I'd even considered. And so for me, it was just meeting other composers and getting that bug to start composing again. So for me, it was a really positive experience, because I don't think I would have ever gone back into composing or started again, even if I hadn't been in this sort of an environment. And just having so many people around who were willing to, like, try out my stuff as well and willing to take risks with my music.
Yeah, Chris and I were talking about that before the show. It's like you have the resource of all these musicians around you all the time. And you don't really have to go far to locate someone who will play something,
and hopefully. And who will do a good job of it, too, for that matter.
Yeah. How about you?
Well, I came in as a piano major as well, so... And, I mean, I like both piano and composition. So in my first year, I was at crossroads, like, oh, what should I do, piano or composition? But after looking at the syllabus of the comp program, I was sold. Because being a comp major, you not only have to compose, you have to be very well-versed in theory, like funny theory concepts like Schenkerian analysis, or...
Over my head.
or things like, and you have to also be very well versed in performance. You know, you have to be able to play instruments so that you can write for them, and you also have to conduct. So I think, like, it offers you a very good scope and very well rounded. And I think that will enhance, like, you as a musician, not just a composer, but as a musician.
Yeah, and speaking of well roundedness, I think, like, even going the other way, like, all the performance majors, and they should be composing.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, which they do, right? In theory, like 200.
100. Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
You write your fugue exposition.
Yeah. And the string quartet, and the. Yeah.
That's one thing I really like about the composition program, is that it is so diverse and it forces you to be a performer as well as a creative person, and you have to tap into so many different things, whereas if, like, in just the performance program alone, you're just stuck in your little practice room all the time.
Yes.
Like, you never, you don't really, like, once you're out of theory, you're like, oh, I'll just practice. I'm not going to do anything else.
I see people who skip class so they can practice. But
you're
saying that you're glad to be an ex.
Well, I was half kidding.
I'm going to turn the tables, though. So what do you think about
it? So what's my deal?
Yeah.
Like, what do I think about my experience at UBC?
Yeah, and how has it changed, like, how you look at what you do?
Well, it definitely added a lot. Going in, like, my background was, like, I played in bands, and, you know, music was, like, a very, it was almost, like, almost always improvised, and we're putting stuff down on, I guess it was probably sometime around the time I heard Beethoven 9 and started getting into written down music, I realized that there was this whole other world where, you know, you could write music on the page and it could be recreated by people, and it got me really, really, really excited. So I basically enrolled at CAP, and I knew right off the bat I wanted to go into the composition stream, because I was already doing it, and I improvised all the time, and I kind of started getting my head around writing stuff down, and I actually started as a percussionist, but that's a whole other story.
I was always thinking, in the next life, I'll be a percussionist.
percussionists are crazy.
Yeah.
But, well, what it added to me was, one of the things I didn't have in, as far as improvised music was, like, a discipline or something like that. Like, I was very just kind of all over the place. But one of the cool thing about coming to UBC or going to, like, an institution was it kind of gave you the tools to know how to discipline yourself. And and more importantly, know when you're not disciplining yourself, so you can make a decision about that.
Yeah.
The other thing it gave me was connections to players and just how to approach someone with music and like what someone like, you know, what a choir director can conceivably be looking for when he's looking to program a concert or something like that.
Yeah.
So that was huge.
Definitely, definitely. Cool. Well, I think that maybe we'll play another piece. And I just for those of you who are tuning in, you're listening to The Rib on CITR here, and I'm interviewing three people who are having pieces played in the upcoming Sonic Boom Festival, which is playing at the Western Front from the 8th to the 11th of April. I'm talking here to Kelsey Zachary, Livia Goh, and Chris Sivak. And Livia, you brought some music in, so why don't we play something here?
Yeah, sure.
What do you have here?
It's a string quartet in the style of Indian music. So basically,
cool.
I use the scale, the raga, based on it's called the Raga Malkan, which is a winter and night scale. Because, you know, in Indian music, each scale has a specific purpose. Like, in a day, there's a scale for it. And in the mid-afternoon, there's another scale for it. So I chose a winter night one.
I didn't know that. That's really cool.
Winter, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I also compose late at night, so... Yeah, and I attempted to make it in the style like of Indian improvisation. So the rhythms are keep on going, and it's, I don't know, it's, the feel is just different. So
cool. Yeah. So what's it called?
The Winter Tale of the Raga Malkins.
And it's in this one.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So this is by Livia Goh. Thank you.
CITR loves its friends. Having a Friends of CITR card entitles you to awesome discounts from businesses in your community. Maybe downtown is your stomping ground. Present your CITR card at 212 Productions Limited, Beat Street Records, Woo Vintage Clothing, Hits Boutique, Dream Apparel and Articles for People, Scratch Records, The Fall Tattooing, Flaming Angel Designs, Spank Clothing, Heart and Soul, Pacific Cinematheque, and True Value Vintage, and receive great discounts. So become a CITR member, get a free Friends card, and feel the love.
I wanna love you and treat you right. I wanna love you.
Okay, welcome back to The Rib on CITR. We are talking about how a composer can get themselves out there and, you know, get their music played, because it's one thing to write really awesome music. It's another thing to have other people hear it. So we were just talking about Canadian League of Composers Symposium that they had at
Western Front a little while ago. Yeah. It was really good. Yeah, they had a bunch of kind of high-profile composers. Like Rodney Sherman, Jocelyn Morlock, Jordan Nobles did like a presentation, and they were giving really good practical advice for how you can, you know, force your music upon people.
Yeah, and I heard something about how you should spend half the time, like say you're working for this amount of time on your compositions. Half that time is spent, you know, getting your stuff out there and getting it played, which is like it's ridiculous in my mind.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's what you need, I guess. And
yeah. Well, ideally what you want to happen is to write really good music, and hopefully you can create like a snowball effect where you have a performance and someone's in the audience and they hear it and they go, wow, this cat obviously knows what they're doing, and they get a piece from you, and it kind of hopefully gets out of control as soon as possible.
Yeah. And that's where the music school is great, because it's a good place
to
start.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
But have you guys thought about putting up websites or anything?
I've got a website. www.chrissyvac.com. Tell all your friends.
Yeah, working on a MySpace.
Working on a MySpace.
Working on it. As in, I had one, and now it's kind of on the wayside. Yeah. But
blogs are good if you can.
Because
one of the hard things about written down music is you're kind of, because you're often not performing, you're like that much farther away from the audience.
Yeah.
So you have to kind of find ways to, you know, either performing, like, I know, Kelsey, you play violin quite well, and that must be a big help. But, for me, for myself, like, I'm, like, an absolute disaster when it comes to playing written down music. So I just kind of recently started a blog and just try to make my web presence make up for some of what I lose by not being a performer.
Mm-hmm.
Also, singing in choir.
Yeah.
That helps.
Just being part, like, actively part of the community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes. Exactly.
Well, it's like Chris was saying too about like being an advantage of being a performer too, like because I also play violin and piano, it's so easy to, like, if I'm doing a recital or something, you know, to take 3 minutes or 5 minutes of my program and be like, okay, I'm going to play my own music now.
Yeah.
Or play somebody else's music who's a new composer, who is somebody that I know who would, you know, return the favor for me as well. I've actually had that happen before with my own recital last year when I played a piece and somebody approached me about doing a choral arrangement of it for a future concert, so...
Cool.
Bitchin'.
Yeah, so, like, experiences like that are, like, really, really valuable.
Yeah, and speaking of recitals, UBC has tons of recitals. It's recital season. Everyone's trying to get them in before they go home for the summer, especially. And, like, Livia.
And
you.
Yeah.
And yours is... They're all up on the website. Actually, if you call the music school and press 3, they have, like, this automated listing of recitals coming up. So, I want to talk a little bit about the composition process, because I know when I dabble in composition, and before that, I was like, I don't even know. I didn't know how to write anything. I didn't know where to start. Can't make a catchy tune to save my life. So let's start with Kelsey. Let's start with you. How do you approach your writing?
Well, I guess for me, like, I'm very much texture based, I guess, in my writing. Like, I'm not somebody who thinks of, like, these big, long, luscious melodies at all. It's usually a texture, or maybe it's a visual idea that I have, you know, whether it's the beach or, you know, just some sort of an image that really triggers some sort of an emotion for me, and then I try to kind of write out maybe that landscape or mm-hmm. that image.
That's
and
cool.
imitate it texturally or something in my own musical representation.
So it's like a painterly way of like
yeah, that's totally it. It's, yeah,
that's neat.
I think of like each, you know, tone or harmony as like a color versus thinking of it as like, oh, well, here's a tree. Or
sounds something. Like that's also influenced by the French music that you're listening to.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. How about you, Olivia?
I need to be inspired by something. So I always need a concept to work my way around things. And usually I try to get inspiration from the sound of the ensemble that I'm writing for. For instance, like I'm writing for Standing Wave, mm-hmm. which is like a clarinet, violin, cello, piano, and percussion. So I go onto the website and listen to all the recordings and listen to what sort of sound comes out from this whole mixture of instruments. And then from there, I start to think, like, so what style would suit this sort of timbre, you mm-hmm. know, the best? And then, so that's how I make my decisions. Mm-hmm. Or I have a concept, and then I work my way around it. Like, that's usually how I compose.
Cool. Yeah. And Chris?
I like to tell stories.
Yeah, you're saying, right.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's usually, yeah, if there's a, like, usually if there's a text, like, or if I've written a piece where there's a text involved, that's usually enough just to make the piece kind of happen. Like with Bye Bye Blackbird, it was, I had the poem kicking around in my inbox for a little while, and Tim asked me for a choral piece, so it wrote itself. Like, when that happens, it's a gift, and it just, I wish it could happen all the time.
Yeah.
But for, there's like, yeah. But like, for a piece where you don't have a text, where it's more of like all Bach's music, you could say, like, that's all his music has a story to it. It's just the story is in the notes, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, with a piece that doesn't have words, usually, for me anyway, there's always some kind of storytelling element involved. Like, the Perfect Focus, the piece that NewBC's playing on the night, the whole piece is about, basically, I guess, the ensemble coming down on the cello and just, like punishing it to a state where it basically has to, like, it quite literally, it gets punished continuously until at the midpoint of the piece, it kind of almost has like a little cadenza where it's like almost pleading to, you know, for some kind of reconciliation.
Why? Being punished for not staying in tune.
Maybe, yeah. Or just for being the only like bowed string instrument, I don't know. But anyway, it's after that, yeah, they like the whole group comes together and they, you know, they get down and it's a good time.
That's cool. Well, let's play a piece that, Kelsey, you wrote.
Sure.
Can you tell us about what you want to play? What...
Sure. Why don't we play the first track off the Disque de Gounod? This is a piece for violin and piano. I wrote it about a year and a half ago, I guess, now. And you can probably hear the imagery influence in it. I would expect it's very calm and kind of, you can probably think of being like on a cold winter's day down a path or something. So it's called On Bramble's Path.
Okay, let's check that out.
Thank you. Well, the party is off to a good start. Guests are on time. Everyone's out to have fun and to help others fun.
What's the matter? Doesn't that sound exciting to you?
UBC students have an alternative. Looking to unwind? Check out one of the sub's two licensed establishments.
The Pit Pub and Burger Bar is home of the famous Pit Night. Relax with great prices on cold beer and lots of big screen HD TVs, or chow down on charbroiled burgers, beer battered fish and chips, and Belgian fries. The Pit is open 7 days a week, and Wednesday through Saturday is open late until 2 a.m. This business is owned and operated by the AMS, your student society.
It's not the same when you hold it close.
CITR presents Musicians for Memory at the Roxy Nightclub Thursday, April 1st.
It's a different shade.
Silent auction and show featuring local bands The Dead Wax Collective, The Thick of It, and Grass City. Tickets available at the door, and all proceeds go to the Alzheimer Society of BC. Doors open at 7. Musicians for Memory featuring The Dead Wax Collective, The Thick of It, and Grass City on Thursday, April 1st at the Roxy Nightclub, 932 Granville Street. Brought to you by CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
Okay, welcome back to The Rib on CITR. You are listening to us talk about new music and, you know, issues that come about surrounding new music. We were actually just talking about how the audience is often very quiet, and it's hard to get people to sit through pieces that are long. And, you know, what if... Actually, I always found it funny. Like, I always... When I'm thinking... I'm listening to a really quiet piece, and I was like, wow, I'm so glad I don't have a cough right now. Like, you know, when you're sitting there, it's like writing an exam and you're like, like constantly. But, and you're talking about some essay you're reading.
Oh, yeah. This Alex Ross, he's like a critic for, music critic for the, I think it's the New Yorker. And he wrote this cool article on, like, the history of applause in, well, music. And he kind of started with Mozart and then kind of moved on to, like, the revolution that Mahler enacted and kind of up to the present day. And he was talking about how, like Mozart at his concerts, at least you can get this from his letters. He'd written letters to his father, I think, about like how this particular passage in a piece he wrote got the audience to kind of, you know, get applaud. And like while the music was happening, and kind of composers after him would kind of gauge the success of their pieces based on audience applause, like between movements, which, you know, doesn't happen, because if you do applaud between movements at a classical concert, people look at you like you're freaking crazy.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. It's taken for granted. Applause is taken for granted.
Yeah,
I think
it is.
Yeah, and it's like what you were talking about with jazz, like if like how there's like the obligatory applause after every solo, like with little regard to whether or not anyone really enjoyed it. Like
yeah, we just train ourselves. You're expected to applaud at the correct time, and you know, it's just part of like convention now.
And classical music is full of convention.
Yeah.
Like, like if you go to the opera and like, you know, there's 8 or 9 bows, and it's just, oh god, if you didn't enjoy the concert, it's just
it's just all masturbatory.
It's great. If you go to see like a play or something like live drama where there's no music involved at all, they go out, they do their one bow, applause is over in 5 minutes, everybody can go home. It's awesome.
Yeah, especially after a 3 hour long thing.
Especially after a 3 hour concert.
Livy, what do you think of? I just want to talk a little bit about like what you call new classical music to make it separate from everything else that people think associate with classical music. Oh, Bach, yeah. Oh, Beethoven, like 300 years later.
Yeah.
You know, what do you call it?
Like, I think the trend is moving towards more like electronic music, for instance, and the fusing of electroacoustic sounds with an instrument is probably like the in thing nowadays for a lot of the North American composers.
Yeah, or it's the most like progressive, most new.
It is. Yeah.
It's very versatile.
Not to say that people aren't still writing for...
Yeah. No, but I think that's the scene for North America and a large part of Europe. And also, because I'm from Singapore, and from where I come from, a lot of people are trying to deal with this whole issue of identity.
Yeah.
Hence, it also reflects in the music. and hence the fusing of Eastern elements in Western context is a very popular thing in Asia.
I think even in Canada, that's like if I remember taking a, what is it? Geography 10.
Oh.
It's like, what is the Canadian identity? And we're all like, I don't know.
Fur trade.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But yeah, so it's like an amalgamation.
Yeah, exactly.
So what do you call that?
Oh.
I have taken a shine to just calling anything, because really like the defining, one of the most important defining characteristics of like this stuff that we do is that it's written down. Like that's the main difference between it and improvised music and pop music. Mm-hmm. So I just call it written down music, because that's pretty much...
Written down music,
that's,
yeah.
That's all you really... It's like the only characteristic that makes it different from pop, jazz, or anything else.
Yeah, that's true. I always use new music because that's what people know. They're like, new music, but if you're not into new music, you don't know what new music is.
Yeah,
it's Kings of Leon, really pop, new music.
Yeah. You know, or like the new Britney Spears song is new music, but it's not new music.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah.
So, I don't know. Let's play something, maybe. Shall we?
Let's show.
What?
Oh, yeah. I brought, it's a piece by Jennifer Higdon, who's kind of a big deal American composer. I think she just won a... Oh God, was it like a Grammy? Something, I think it was a Grammy or something for Grammy. God, some kind of large award for her percussion concerto. But the piece that you're gonna play is from her. It's a piece for piano and violin called. Where's my CD case? String Poetic. Thank you. Yeah, and it's just the first movement. It's called Jagged Climb. I bet Kelsey will really like this piece. It's it uses some really cool effects, like the pianist will be playing inside the piano for a bit, and she kind of pairs that up with. Playing near the violin is playing near the bridge, and so you get this really kind of icy, kind of nasty sort of sound. It's great.
Yeah, and that is another whole new realm is extended techniques too.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
And notating them.
Yeah. Oh,
actually, before we do, you guys ever work with graphic scores and stuff?
I have a little bit, yeah.
Only with people who don't read.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, I work with the little kids I teach with graphic scores, and they're always like, can we do that instead of reading?
Well, I was just going to say, people I've been in bands with where like they don't read like European notation, so I'll have to figure out some way of like drawing what the music is going to be.
Yeah.
And yeah, it can be fun.
Yeah. All right, well, here's the violin and piano, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Welcome back to the RIB. Before I go on, I just want to let you know what else is coming up for today on CITR 101.9 FM. At 5 o'clock, every Monday and Wednesday and Friday, by the way, is News 5:30 Career Fast Track with Philippe. This Side of Monday with Becky at 6:30. At 7:30, Exploding Head Movies with Gary Kay. The Jazz Show at 9 p.m. And Sore Throats Clapping Hands with Robert at midnight. All right. So coming back, I wanted to ask you three a little bit about what else you guys are doing in the next little while musically. I mean, you have stuff coming up at Sonic Boom, but then there's, you know, where are things going? Can we start with Kelsey?
Sure.
Yeah.
I guess probably the biggest thing for me coming up will be I'm doing my third year recital for my degree program at UBC, and that'll be on April 24th at the UBC School of Music Recital Hall, and it's at noon, and there'll be lots of free food afterwards. So
and check it out. All the recitals are free.
Yeah, all the student recitals are free and really high caliber. Yeah. It'll be a lot of fun. It's going to be a really fun
event,
and I'll be playing one of my own pieces at that as well. So if you like what you've heard, come check it out.
And is this the piece that you played today?
No, it's a different work that I just recently finished composing.
Solo violin?
For solo violin, yeah, unaccompanied.
Oh, cool. Oh. How about you, Olivia?
I'm also a choral conductor, like, for my own choir. So we're taking part in Kiwanis, like, next week, Saturday. So it's at Burnaby Caribou Hill.
Yeah.
And so I do a bit of conducting as well, and because I want to be a choir conductor.
What is the process like? You get your own choir together, and then are you commissioning works, and how's that going?
It's coming along pretty well. We are still amateur choir because we just started, like, what, 2 years ago, and it's taking shape now. But I think we're still not really ready for like new music, if you get what I mean, because it takes a certain standard.
No weird stuff.
Yeah, not yet. Still a bit tonal-ish, but not quite. And I like to bring in a lot of like choral pieces inspired by world music. For instance, we're singing this piece called Casa Milagai. It's by this Argentinian composer called Alberto Grau. He's a very, very big name in South America. And he basically infuses African rhythm into this whole piece. So this whole piece is based on just these words, Casa Milagai, which in African means the earth is tired.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about him critiquing about how we use up all the earth resources. And it is shown via the music. So yeah. That's for next Saturday in Burnaby, Kiwanis Music Festival. And then Robin and I will also be doing a combined piano recital on May the 7th at the Music Recital Hall.
That's you.
That's me.
Yeah.
I know. I was like, oh, yeah, I'm doing that too. Yeah.
At 8 p.m. Yeah. And I'll
come
also
to your
be
radio host.
For real, yeah.
Cool. And I see your approach to music is like the world is this big pot and you sort of just like dip in.
Exactly.
You know?
Whatever inspires me, I just take it and it comes out.
That's cool because, I mean, today's world is like, to use Marshall McLuhan's term, it's the global village. So
exactly.
Yeah. How about you, Chris? You said that you had that thing coming up in April.
Yeah, there's a couple. On, I think, May 2nd, I'm getting a choral piece premiered by a new group whose name is ambiguous at the moment, but...
It's Eva's Choir, isn't it?
It's Eva's Choir.
Oh, yeah. I've got a piece on that as well.
Well, goddamn. Do you guys know what I'm talking
about?
It's
in the afternoon.
Yeah, it's, I think, a Green College. Yeah, I'm really excited about that one. That was a piece. The text was really good, so the piece came out great. Like,
yeah, it's gonna be a really fun concert. I'm really excited about that.
What time is it at?
I actually don't know. Chris knows more about it than I do.
Eva sings in the piece choir with me, and she's still like putting the details together because I think a lot of the music is really, really ambitious and it's hard. So
I was talking to her on the Friday, and she's like, I don't know if we can get it together, but. There's time. She's talking about John Kostelic's piece.
Yeah, yeah, I saw the score for that. It's wild.
Yeah, I was watching him write, and I was like, "Are you really gonna?" No, I'm just kidding. Mm-hmm. It's challenging, but it's doable.
But then there's also commission for the Amicus Duo, and after that, I'm for sure be making more work for myself somehow.
Cool.
Yeah.
Very, very cool. Also, I wanted to talk to you about like. Going to concerts, like what kind of concerts do you guys look for? Like even like outside of classical music, you know, is like, do you guys have like a secret love of like underground dubstep concerts or like, you know, Like, what else are you guys into musically?
1067 is a good place to go for weird stuff.
Yep. Weird. If you can find it.
Yeah. Yeah, if you can find it, if you know where it is, you know the secret knock. No, they actually, they rigged up a new buzzer system. It's really good.
Yeah. Where is that again?
It's a secret location, actually.
Oh. Is it, actually, I've told people on air.
Yeah,
it's,
I know. It's on Gravel Street.
It's off Gravel Street in the alley.
Just look for the door that I'll has the little writing on it that says, look above you, and you look up, and then there's a buzzer, and you hit the buzzer, and then someone comes down and let you in.
Wow.
Oh, really?
Oh, I haven't been there in a while, because last time I was there, the door's just open, and you walk in.
Oh.
I haven't been there in several months.
Yeah, well, they changed the, yeah, like they got a new door for the Olympics. Yeah.
Oh, the Olympics.
Yeah, they were worried that they were going to get, like, kind of drunks and thugs, so they just, they revamped their security system, and, they're kicking.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Venues. See, that's the thing. It's like, you have all these secret location venues. Like, I was at the Fake Jazz Festival this weekend, which was really cool, and then after the regular show, they have another show starting at 11 at the secret location, and they don't even, when they announce it, they're like, does anybody need to know where that is? And, you know, if you do talk to, you know, so it's like we're forced to sort of go into these maybe, I mean, like the fire safety board probably wouldn't want you there and stuff like that because there just isn't enough funding for that. Nobody wants people playing music past 8 p.m. Mm-hmm. It's too bad. But how about you guys? Do you guys...
I try to take in as many concerts as I can, you know, as wide a variety as possible. I went and saw a really cool concert in the fall with Bella Fleck, who's an amazing banjo player, Edgar Meyer, who's, like, the god of bass playing, and I don't even remember the tabla player's name.
Zakir Hussain.
Yeah,